You may be seated. I also want you to know at this time we have a couple of elders and their wives out in the west hallway. If you're in need of prayer, then they're more than willing to take that time and pray with you. So you can be dismissed now or within the next 5 or 10 minutes, and elder and his wife will be waiting for you. Today we're going to do another parishioner's pick. If you're visiting or not familiar with that term, this is when you tell me what to preach on. You give me a verse, a topic, or whatever it is that you feel like I need to preach on. And so we've done that last week. We'll do that for the next few weeks. So today is an interesting one, and I'll read you the submission. I've always heard joking about the sin of gluttony, because I, along with many people, love eating. Can you preach a sermon, or at least explain to me why gluttony is or is not a sin? Where and possibly why it's mentioned in the Bible. So today we're going to talk about gluttony. I think all of us know what that is. It's not a word that'll stump you on the ACT or SAT test. It simply means an excess, especially of food, or an excess of drinking. It's an interesting request, isn't it? And I like it, and I don't like it. I don't like it because it kind of hits real close to home when you start talking about gluttony. But I do like it because, man, I don't know if I've ever preached just on gluttony. And so it's forcing me to preach on something that I normally wouldn't preach on. And it's also a reminder that, man, our whole lives, everything about our lives needs to be lived under the rule of Jesus Christ, our King. And a lot of times we don't think that way. A lot of times Christians, we have categories of sins, and we have the big sins. You know, we can avoid the big sins, and we can love to preach about those big sins, but then there are those smaller sins, what we consider smaller sins that, man, we think they're more acceptable. And so this is really forcing us to look at something that I think, if I struggle with it, there may be one or two other people that struggle with it in church as well. Years ago, I preached a series called Respectable Sins, and it was based on a book, Respectable Sins, by Jerry Bridges. And here's a quote from the preface of that book. The motivation for this book stems from a growing conviction that those of us whom I call conservative evangelicals may have become so preoccupied with some of the major sins of society around us that we have lost sight of the need to deal with our more, quote-unquote, refined or subtle sins. Then also my research, I ran across this article in Christianity Today. You got to love the title. It's called To Hell on a Cream Puff, by Frederica Matthews Green. But listen to what she says. What is so bad about engaging in a little gluttony anyway? It's not one of the bad sins like adultery or stealing. We wouldn't do that. All gluttony does is make you soft and huggable. It's a cute sin. Sometimes we think that way, don't we? I mean, we can just put that one to the side. Sometimes we think that gluttony is one of those refined sins. But as I said, probably one or two of us in this audience struggle with this. But the submission asks, is it a sin? Is gluttony a sin? I was kind of surprised. I thought gluttony was listed in one of those lists of sins. You know, Paul occasionally will say, here are the works of the flesh, or here's some sins, here's some sinful behavior, and then he'll have a list of several activities or behaviors, and it wasn't in one of those lists. But it is mentioned in the Old Testament, like in Proverbs chapter 23, 19 through 21, the book of wisdom. Listen, my son, and be wise, and set your heart on the right path. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. So wisdom from the inspired word of God says, man, that is not a good thing. It's not going to work out good for you if you are a glutton. But again, nowhere in the New Testament does it say, quote unquote, gluttony is a sin. But when you do look up the word glutton, guess who you find? Jesus. Jesus is accused of being a glutton. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 19, he is a friend of sinners. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And of course, Jesus is repeating an accusation that his opponents made of him. Now, was Jesus a glutton? No, this is not trustworthy. These are people who are just trying to discredit Jesus. Is he a drunkard? No, he's not a drunkard. They're just saying this because Jesus is eating with people that they don't like. He's eating with the sinners and the tax collectors. So what does this say about gluttony? Eating food, is it bad? No. Jesus ate food. Jesus, I imagine, enjoyed food. It doesn't necessarily say that, but he ate with a lot of people. And so is gluttony a sin? Well, let me say, not every sin is listed in the Bible. Imagine the size of the book if every sin were written in the Bible. But gluttony, like many sins, is taking something that God created, something good, and then overindulging in it or practicing it out of the God-ordained boundaries that we find in the Word of God. For example, eating fruit is not a sin. But for Adam and Eve, eating the fruit from the forbidden tree was a sin. So food, drink, sex, work, many other things, all of these things can be and are good, but when overindulged in or practiced outside of the God-ordained boundaries, can oftentimes be a sin. And so although gluttony is not listed in those words, I think it would fit in some of the categories that we see in the New Testament. Here's a couple passages of those list of sins that I referred to. One is in 1 Peter chapter 4. If you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans, the unbelievers, chose to do. And I think gluttony could probably fit as a subset underneath at least one, if not several, of these words. Debauchery is just giving yourself to this wild and reckless lifestyle. Lust is just giving yourself to the sexual passions, desires that we have. Drunkenness is certainly an example of gluttony. Orgies, gluttonous in sex, carousing, and detestable idolatry. So even though gluttony is not listed, I think, yeah, it's in one of those categories. Or as Paul writes in Romans chapter 13, he talks about other sins, sexual immorality, drunkenness, carousing, debauchery, dissension. So even though gluttony is not mentioned, I'm pretty confident that it is a sin. And let me just share a few reasons why I believe that gluttony is a sin. Why? What's wrong with it? Well, one, gluttony exhibits a lack of self-control. I mean, that's kind of the definition of the word. I'm just going to eat, I'm just going to eat, I'm just going to drink, I'm going to drink. I'm going to participate in any activity that may be good, may be blessed of God, but I'm just going to throw myself into it. A lack of self-control. And self-control is, it's a virtue. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 5. If you have the Spirit, he says, there are certain behaviors, certain characteristics that should be exhibited in your life, and one of those is self-control. The Apostle Peter talks about self-control as one of those virtues that we develop. It's one of those ways that we grow in the faith. We grow in perseverance, we grow in faith, and we grow in self-control. So gluttony is a lack of self-control, and it's exhibited when we overeat, it's exhibited when we overdrink, or it's exhibited in any area of our life where we just overindulge, where it's out of control, when we're being controlled by our appetites, whether that is for food or something else. It's living in excess. Listen to these words. This is from a bishop, from a Russian monk, Bishop Ignatius Brian Kananoff. He writes this. Wise temperance of the stomach is a door to all the virtues. Restrain the stomach and you will enter paradise. But if you please and pamper your stomach, you will hurl yourself over the precipice of bodily impurity into the fire of wrath and fury. You will coarsen and darken your mind, and in this way you will ruin your powers of attention and self-control, your sobriety and vigilance. And pretty strong words, aren't they? He says self-control is something that is essential for the disciple. Gluttony is the enemy of self-control. Second reason, gluttony is also, it can be, is a form of idolatry. Also, like many other sins, gluttony is trying to find something in whether it's food, drink, sex, any type of activity that we overindulge in. Gluttony is a symptom of trying to find peace or rest in something other than God. It's expecting food to do something for you that food cannot do. Now, it may do that for a while, and you may be down in the dumps, and you get a half gallon of Bluebell ice cream, and it may make you feel better for a little bit, but it's not going to fill that spiritual void. Listen to this quote from Frederick Buechner. He says, "A glutton is one who runs to the icebox for a cure to a spiritual malnutrition." So whatever you're throwing your life into, whatever you're overindulging in, it may be that you think that that's going to give you something that only God can give you, and that is, at its root, what idolatry is all about. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Paul is writing to believers, and this is a church. In the early church, there were people who were not believers. I mean, they said that they were Christians. They said that they believed, but they were, and Paul describes these people here as the enemies of the cross of Christ. He says, those people, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their God is their belly. Some translations say their God is their appetite, and the glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. So as I've been processing this, this is really a call to me and to you to ask yourself the question, are you looking to something like food, sex, drink, rest, work, phone, social media, clothes, hobbies, homes, cars, vacations? Are you looking to those things and throwing yourself into those things and you expecting them to do something for you that they cannot do? Now, gluttony a lot of times is associated with, well, it's bad for your health. Yeah, it's not good to eat a half gallon of Bluebell every time you get down to the dumps. Yeah, so it's a physical concern as well. You know, gluttony is not going to make you look as good, so you're not going to be as attractive, and so that's a legitimate concern as well. But people, it's not just a matter of our physical health or how good we look. Gluttony is a spiritual issue that we all have to deal with. In fact, sometimes gluttony can help us avoid facing the issues in our life. We know there's something going on. We know that there's sin. We know that God is calling us to something else. But we can dull ourselves to our spiritual condition by overindulging in things. Case in point, back in the day of Amos, the Old Testament prophet, he lived back in the late 700s. He was a prophet to the people of Israel, and they were doing great. This was a prosperous time for Israel. I mean, the economy was good. They were getting rain. You know, the crops were good. Everything was just going their way. But the prophet Amos notices that these people, I mean, they are blessed. Everything is going well, but they have dulled themselves to the spiritual condition around them. So listen to the words of the prophet Amos. These are powerful words. He says, "You lie on beds adorned with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fatted calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowl full and use the finest lotions. But you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph, God's people. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end." Sometimes blessings can be a curse, can't they? Sometimes blessings can dull us to the situation around us, can dull us to our spiritual situation. So instead of facing that spiritual problem, do we ever do that? Do we do the same by living in excess? Jesus said, if you want to find rest, if you want to get rid of the burden, if you want to find peace for your soul, he says, what does he say? He says, come to me and you'll find rest for for your soul. He doesn't say get a new home. He doesn't say eat more food. He doesn't say buy a new car. He says rest is found in him. And gluttony or overindulgence can be our attempt to find rest in something else, and that is idolatry. All right, so it's a lack of self-control. It's a form of idolatry. One more, gluttony is also a form of selfishness. Flat out. I mean, we just take everything. We consume, we consume, we consume. Everything is for us. And we overconsume. We buy and we buy and we buy. We buy what we need, and so many times we buy way more than what we need. And so gluttony, when it comes down to it, is how we spend our time, how we spend our money, and are we overindulging in something, anything, and it doesn't have to be bad. It can be something good God created. But are we overindulging in something, but we're not caring for people? Is our overindulgence keeping us from being a blessing to other people? Or do we live with this mindset, I've earned it, I'm going to spend it, and it's all for me? We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed. Not good. It's a sad story. And most of the time when you think about the sin of Sodom, you think of sexual sin. And certainly so. There was a lot of sexual sin. Ezekiel's going to mention it later on in these words. We're going to read part of that. He talks about their detestable acts, and it's almost certainly a description of their sexual immorality. But sometimes we think Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed because of sexual immorality. Well, Ezekiel, he thinks there was more behind it than that. This was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy. In fact, that word overhead in the New Living Translation translated gluttony in the Message. Translated gluttonous, it kept them from helping poor people. Let me read this passage from 1 Peter chapter 4. I have two different translations, one the New International Version and one the Message. Peter wrote to a group of people who were suffering. Now, normally we think suffering is bad. Well, yeah, I think no one enjoys suffering. But Peter is saying that, hey, this suffering can have a positive effect in your life. So he tries to spin it into what can suffering do for us? How can it refine us? How can it make us more mature? How can we take suffering and learn something about God, learn something about this life? And so in this section, he's saying, all right, you're suffering. Let's try to learn something about suffering. Let's see what he says. He says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same way of thinking, for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So he seems to be thinking sometimes suffering can help us put sin into perspective. Sometimes it can free us from sin. It can be used to help free us from sin. He says it can do that so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Suffering can remind us, you know, this world is never going to please me. It's never going to fill that void. Something else is going to fill that void, and so I'm going to give myself into doing the will of God. Listen to how Eugene Peterson translates it. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your suffering as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way or get what you want. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. Isn't that what gluttony is? I want what I want, and I want it now. It could just derail us. It can keep us from seeking the will of God. I'm going to read some other. These are tough words. I don't like preaching this sermon. Let me tell you right now, I don't like preaching this sermon. James, look at what James says. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and the moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. He's saying, man, look around you. There's so many things that you need to be doing. What you're doing is you're just getting everything you can, and you're just hoarding everything. You're being gluttons. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. I'm preaching to myself, church, also. But we spend so much of our time and so much on our money on ourselves, and we don't reach out, we don't help other people. And so many of the things that we spend our money on, they don't really matter. And the thing is, a lot of us can afford these things. It's not as if we're bankrupt. It's not as if we're going over budget, but this is how we think to ourselves, right? All right, we're taking out a mortgage. We think, yeah, we can afford $300 more on a mortgage, and maybe you can. Maybe it's well within your budget. Or you're buying a car. Yeah, I can, $100 more payment a month. Yeah, we can handle that, and maybe you're fine. Maybe you got saved. I don't know. I don't know what your situation is, but we always think of how much we can do. We always push our budget to the maximum, what we can spend on ourselves. Maybe having 8 streaming services at the same time is well within your budget. Maybe you could do that. Maybe you're just fine. But the question is overconsumption keeping me, is it keeping you from caring for others physically and spiritually? Am I, are you passionate about building bigger barns? Or are you passionate about doing the will of God? Gluttony builds bigger barns. And folks, that's not a good place to be. So is gluttony a sin? Well, it's a lack of self-control, which is a virtue that so many of us need to develop, need to strengthen. It's a form of idolatry. It's looking for something of this world to fill a need that only God can fill. And it's outright selfishness. It's spending everything on me. So, yeah, I think it's a sin. So here's an assignment I want to give you. I want you to chew on these two suggestions. Pun intended. Get it? Chew on these two suggestions. Ask yourself, what are some things that I'm overindulging in? And if you're an American, that probably shouldn't take too long to figure out. What are some things that you are overindulging in? Let's just be honest and let's identify that. Let's confess it. And then intentionally start saying no to some things and develop that habit in your life. Strengthen that self-denial muscle, that self-control muscle, because that muscle is so easy for us to let it get flabby. Let me remind you, it's not just to say no to something. It's not like, oh, God's going to say, wow, look at you. You canceled the streaming service. I don't know what you can do. You ate one less slice of pizza, whatever it might be. It's not just saying no to things. I mean, that is just asceticism, which you know is just thinking if I beat myself up, God's going to love me. That's not it. That was a misunderstanding of this whole concept. But what it is, we're going to say no to some things because we want to develop self-control. We want to take control of our lives. We don't want to be controlled by our appetites. We want to control our appetites. And then we want to do that so that in saying no to some things, we can say yes to God. We can say yes to ministry. We can say yes to helping other people. So what are some things that you are overindulging in? And then start saying no to some things. Develop that self-control muscle. All right, this is a hard sermon to preach. I don't think I've ever preached on gluttony before, have I? I don't know. It's hard because a lot of us are guilty of this. And some people are being controlled by your passions. I mean, you're just in those chains. Remember that opening video? I mean, you are chained to those passions. Those things are controlling you. You wake up in the morning thinking about those things. Everything in your mind, you're looking forward to whatever it is that is controlling you. And so that's really hard for us to realize and to deal with. But I want to give you some good news. You know, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you. You realize that? You know that? And the Holy Spirit can develop those fruit, and one of those is self-control. So you got someone on your team that's going to help you overcome those. You got the Spirit of God, God Himself working within you. So this is not a battle that you have to face by yourself. And some people may be thinking, I have just given my life over to passions to such a degree that God certainly has no place for me whatsoever. Whatever it may be, I don't know. I don't know what your life is. I don't know what you've given yourself to. But you have given yourself to all of these earthly appetites, and you're thinking to yourself, I am repulsive to God. That is not true. That is not true. No matter what you've done, you are not repulsive to God. And you need to know this, is that Jesus Christ understands those temptations. He was free. He didn't sin. He didn't sin at all, but he was tempted just like you and I are tempted. So he knows the lure of this world. So he understands when you come to him and say, man, God, I'm just being controlled by this. I can't. He understands those passions that you have, but he forgives you. He'll wash away those chains and he'll set you free so that you can worship him with all of your life. So let today be a new beginning for you. Take control through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Take control of your life. And then also, if you're struggling with sin, I want you to know that God's mercy, we're going to sing about this just a second, God's mercy is more. It is greater than your sin. Never think that you are outside of the love of God. There's a sermon on gluttony. There it is. What am I going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that your word hits us right between the eyes. Father, sometimes we read the Bible and, I'm going to skim through that. I'm going to go over that. Oh, yeah, there's one that I really like. I'm going to tell other people that they're sinful and wicked. And man, I'm so glad I'm not struggling with that sin. But Father, help us to really face the reality that there is sin in our life and Satan is trying to control us in so many different ways. Maybe it's gluttony. It may not be for everyone or I don't know. But Satan is trying to take control of us. And one way that he does, he dangles out the world and all of the good things that you have created and saying to us, yeah, you just need a little bit more of that. A little bit more of that. Yeah, keep going, and you're going to feel better anytime now. And we just keep going. We never feel better, and so we move on to something else. Maybe that's going to do it. And we just jump from one thing to another thinking that that's going to bring peace to our life. And so, Father, forgive us when we do that. Father, help us to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, self-control in our lives. Father, help us never to look to something else to do what only you can do for us. And Father, forgive us for being so selfish that we consume everything. And there are people around us that don't know about you. There are people that don't have half of what we have, a quarter of what we have. And we're just sitting on our couches and we're just enjoying life and we are blind to the needs around us. Father, we confess. I confess, Father, forgive us. Father, help us. Help us by the power of your Spirit to be passionate about one thing, your kingdom. Father, help us to seek first the kingdom of God. And Father, we trust that you will provide for all of the other needs that we have. And Father, it may be that after we find the kingdom of God, what we thought we needed, we really didn't need after all. Because you are our everything. Father, thank you for your great love. Father, in you we will find peace and rest like nowhere else. Father, you love us with this great, just amazing love. Thank you for pouring out your grace upon us. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.